What is it? 35? Okay, can I turn there? Can I turn there real quick? I tell you what, you can put it on the screen and we'll read it together. You there? All right. Hebrews 10:35, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Say confidence. You didn't say car or clothes. There comes a time where you got to change clothes, buy new ones, get a new car, broke down, or get a camel if you're in Egypt. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Say confidence. I want to share a little bit today. I'm doing the best I can, short notice. Share a little bit tonight about the importance of confidence. I'm going to talk about something that's more important than self-confidence. I think a lot of us can say we have self-confidence or confidence in ourselves concerning certain things. Some people have confidence in their ability, confidence in their skill, you know, confidence in people. But tonight we're going to focus on something that's going to help you in your relationship with God, your relationship with people, and particularly your ministry. How many would like to be more effective in ministry, serving, touching, making a difference in the lives of people? And I want to share some things with you. And then this is from the ministry enrichment class. So this is a teach, preach version. And you're getting this free tonight, no charge. So let's just move forward. Let's pray again, one more time, in Jesus' name. Lord, we do thank you tonight for the privilege of just being in this wonderful atmosphere, an atmosphere full of the manifest presence of God. It reminds me of those that you led to the mountain, and while they were there with you, you transfigured yourself before them. And they saw you, Lord, in a new way, in a greater glory. And we feel that we've already seen and experienced that tonight. And we pray that that would continue while we're here with you and you with us. Let us hear your voice. Teach us how to apply our heart to the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding that comes from the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Praise God. All right. Why don't you smile at a few people? And give them a friendly nod or something. Brother George Gilliam, I love you, bro. Confidence, say confidence. Now, there are times that I've had confidence that it didn't really do me any good. It didn't bring about the right results. It did not bring about the results that I had desired. There were times as a younger man going hunting with my dad, that I was in my hunting stand, and I'd had visions and dreams of that big buck just coming out in front of me, and I was going to see him in the crosshairs of my scope, and I was going to just lay him down to rest and put him in the freezer and so forth. We won't go into too much detail, but I had confidence for about the first 2 hours. After being in the cold for about 2 hours, 27 degrees, not seeing anything but squirrels and hearing a few birds and maybe a possum rustling through the leaves or an armadillo, my confidence began to diminish. I began to lose hope. And as it got closer till about 10 o'clock, 10:30, I'm like, well, I'm going to hold on for about 30 minutes, and then that's it. And there were times that I was very, very disappointed. I had confidence the night before and the morning of, but it didn't work out. And I didn't see what I wanted to see. I didn't possess what I wanted to possess that day. But I did have confidence for a little while. And I realized that confidence does not keep itself. Something has to keep confidence. If you and I have confidence, we have to understand that we have to keep it. We've got to maintain it. We've got to do something in order to maintain confidence. How many besides me has lost confidence because of circumstances or situations? Right? Isn't it interesting that the writer in Hebrews says, cast not away, therefore, thy confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Now that tells me that it is possible to lose it, to neglect it. But he says, don't cast it away, but do everything in your power to maintain confidence. And I do not believe that he's referring to self-confidence here. I don't believe that he's referring to confidence in one's own ability or resource. But I believe that he's referring to confidence in God. And so I want to share a little bit, maybe just a few nuggets and a few verses of Scripture for a little while, on the importance of having confidence in God. Have you ever been around people that they were so encouraging, and when you left their presence, you felt so much better, and you felt encouraged, and you felt like you had more confidence in God and the promise of God and the Word of God and the character of God? Have you ever been around people like that? Anybody? Anybody? Just let me see. A couple of you? Thank you. Amen. I love being around people who have confidence in God. I love being around people who have confidence in God, unshakable confidence in God. It seems to be contagious, Brother Powell. And it was only just a short time ago that the Lord began to deal with me about the importance of having confidence in Him. And I realized very quickly, as he brought this to my attention, that this really does affect our relationship with God, our relationship with ourselves and with others, and of course, our ministry and how we conduct ourselves and how we interact with other people. Confidence makes a big difference. Tell somebody it really does. Now, I do realize that you can be used of God and have low self-esteem, and you can lack self-confidence. You really can. Look at Gideon. Remember the story of Gideon? Remember? Book of Judges, I believe. Gideon had low self-esteem, didn't have any confidence in himself or his family. In fact, he didn't even have confidence in God. Remember the story? Didn't even have confidence in God. He was upset. He was intimidated. He was bound by fear. And he had no confidence that things were going to change or get any better, or that they would triumph over their enemies. So what did the Lord do? The Lord began to speak truth to him and share revelation to him. Because he knew, the Lord knew, that Gideon would never have the confidence to stand up and face his adversary. God knew that. That he would never have the confidence to do what he needed to do, to obey God's calling and voice and will, unless God gave him truth. It's amazing how truth can empower your life to believe something that you would not ordinarily believe, to change your perception about yourself, your God, your circumstance, and perhaps other people. So the first thing I see that the Lord began to do is he began to reveal himself to Gideon. And then he began to say things about Gideon that Gideon didn't even know was possible. All to get his eyes off of himself and off of his circumstance, and to set his affection on things above and on the one who could do something about his circumstances. And at the end of the day, Gideon had confidence in God and was used of God. It doesn't say he was a strong man. It doesn't say he was a smart man. It doesn't say he was a rich man full of resources. He was just a man, an ordinary man that God spoke to, that God, amen, gave revelation to. And this man decided, I'm going to believe God. But it took a lot to get him to that place. And just like Gideon, fear holds a lot of us hostage. Our perception of ourselves really hinders us at times. Anybody besides me, your perception of yourself has hindered you from doing certain things. Oh, I can't do that. Even Moses, if you were to ask Moses, even at the age of 80, he would tell you, I just didn't have any confidence. But in spite of his deficiency, his lack of confidence, God used him. And one of the keys to being used of God to make a difference is to get your eyes off of yourself and lose confidence in self and place confidence in the God that cannot lie, that cannot change. Moses had to realize God's not using you because of who you are or what you think. Sometimes God has to empty you before he can use you. Sometimes God's got to shake you and get stuff out of you that you didn't even know was there to position you to be used for his glory. And there's some things that if they're not shaken loose, we'll take the credit and the glory. And we'll be lifted up in pride. And we'll put our confidence in our ability, in our skill, in our looks, and what we have or who we know. But I'm trying to help you understand that there's something more powerful than self-confidence, and that is confidence in God. I wonder if you would just ask the Lord, God, teach me, help me, show me how to develop confidence in you, so that my relationship can be enhanced, so that my ministry can be enhanced, and so that I can make a difference in the world in which I live. I know that I live around people who have confidence in things, confidence in retirement, in the gold and the silver and the trade, and they have some people actually have confidence in governments. But how many in here has lived long enough to know that governments rise and fall? Huh? That's right. people rise and fall. The currency, it can change. It can be worth this much today and be way down here tomorrow. So why put your confidence in those things? Because those things can change. Those things can be removed. Those things can decay. Why not put confidence in the one who cannot change and cannot be changed? And that is the Lord. And I believe the Lord is encouraging us and desiring that we have confidence in Him. Now, I'm not talking about just simple confidence, but a healthy confidence. Because some have a confidence in God that He will do certain things that He will absolutely never do because it contradicts who he is. So just because you have confidence in your concept of God doesn't mean that God's going to do that or be that or respond in the way that you think He should respond. Our confidence should be in the revelation that God has given to us of Himself, so that your confidence is not in vain. Because there are people that have confidence and expectations of God that are sadly disappointed. Because God does not change for you. God's not obligated to you. When he swears by Himself, not by man. All right? So He's not obligated to do everything that you think He should do. And listen, when you make choices, you have to suffer the blessing or the consequence or the effects of that choice. And God is not obligated to bail you out, but because He's good, He can bless you and help you endure the effects of your choices. I don't know if that makes sense. But if you choose door number A, guess what? You get everything behind door number A. If you choose this job, listen, God's not obligated to bail you out. But God is so good that He'll bless you even when you make the wrong choice. Huh? It's not because He approves of your wrong choice. It's because you're His kid and He loves you whether you make good choices or bad choices. And you need to have confidence in who God is, that He loves you even when you're wrong. But there will be a price. There will be consequences. There will be effects. There are results. Does that make sense? So don't cast your confidence away. Don't lose your confidence in God because you made a bad choice or you made a mistake. Don't lose your confidence in God and think that He don't love you no more and He's forsaken you. No. God said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. What are you saying? Don't lose confidence in who God is and what God has said. He said, I will never leave you. You won't always feel me, but I'm there. I feel that's a word for somebody. We're trying to feel God and find out where God is at. I'm telling you how to find out where God is at. Look into the Word of God, because the Word is the revelation of God expressed to man. The Word will tell you where he is, because Job couldn't find Him. Job searched and couldn't find God. Where are you? But David had a revelation, not because of what he felt, but because of the word that came to David about the omnipresence of God. And he said, even if I make my bed in hell, He's there. If I were to descend into the deep, He's there. If I took the wings of a morning, He's there. That is a revelation of the omnipresence of God. And that should encourage you that no matter what you feel, you can live by what you know. And I know that He'll never leave me, that He'll never forsake me, that he'll never abandon me. I may feel alone, but God is with me. Come on, encourage yourself right now. I may feel lonely, but God is with me. I don't always feel him or see him or can detect him, but he's with me. Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Where did you get that from? The Word of God. And that's where I'm going to place my confidence, in the Word of God, in what God says. Every word of God is true. We live so much based on our feelings and our emotions and our own thoughts. And when we do so, we start sinking, so to speak, like Peter. But as long as he stayed focused on the Lord and set his affection on the Lord, he did what the Lord did. He walked upon the water like the Lord did. Isn't that amazing? As long as his confidence was in God, he could do things that others did not dare do. Isn't that something? But the moment he lost confidence in God, see, because you can lose confidence in God. That's right. You can get distracted and put your attention on other things. And you can yield to your own fear. You can yield to your own mind, your own thought, your own understanding, your own logic, your own reasoning. And when you do so, you begin to sink. But no wonder the Lord is saying, look unto me and be ye saved. Get your eyes back on me. Put your confidence in me. Don't put confidence in flesh and ability and who you know, because who you know may die. And they may not leave what they said they were going to leave to you. So don't put all your eggs in that basket. Let me tell you, put your eggs in one basket. And I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about him. That's what I'm talking about. Put your confidence in him. It doesn't matter about the inflation. It doesn't matter if they raise taxes. It doesn't matter if there's a famine or a flood. What matters is I'm in his hand. And as long as I'm in his hand, he's going to take care of me. Praise God. And God wants you to have confidence in that. Have confidence in him. The word confidence in Scripture refers to spiritual assurance, a firm trust and reliance. It is a cheerful courage. It is free from uncertainty or inexactness. And as I've mentioned before, confidence does not keep itself. You must keep confidence. We must do what we need to do to keep confidence in the Lord, who he is, what he has said, lest we start sinking and relying upon other things. Say praise God. In the book of Philippians, chapter number 3, I know I'm talking, teaching, proclaiming. Hopefully you're not falling asleep on me. Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 8. Paul says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. For what? For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may, what? That I may win Christ, gain Christ, have Jesus Christ. But before he makes this statement, we see Paul as a pious man. He is full of religious pride and full of self-confidence. And he was very zealous. He persecuted the church. And he was proud of it. Remember that side before Christ? Remember that side of Brother Paul? However, after receiving revelation of the Lord, he got to see himself a little more clearer. You see, without proper revelation of God, you don't even know who you are. You might think too high of yourself, and you may even think too low of yourself. And both can be devastating and detrimental to your relationship with the Lord and with yourself. You ever met somebody and you try to pay them a compliment and they don't know how to receive it? You know, there's a reason for that. You try to pay somebody a compliment and they're like, oh no, I'm nothing. I'm trash. I'm garbage. I'm just the filth. I'm just the scum of the earth. You know, I'm a nobody. That's unhealthy. I want to go ahead and tell you. I'm meddling now. And you've made a compliment to someone, say, hey, you did a great job on that song. And they say, well, that wasn't me. Oh, okay. I thought it was you. I really did. I thought I saw your lips moving and, you know, your voice projecting. I really did think it was you. But listen, if someone pays you a compliment, say, hey, you done a great job on that song, say thank you. Huh? Hey, the Lord blessed us, right? He can bless you with vocal cords. I think some people have surgery, you know, get them all enhanced. I don't know why. Maybe it's for God's glory. I don't know. Oh, I didn't mean to get into that. But we do need to have confidence in God and confidence in who God says we are. Huh? I remember those days, low self-esteem. Nobody loves me. I can't even get a friend, you know. I sit by myself feeling sorry for myself. You know, every day is a new party to bathe in my own pity. Woe is me. I remember those days, even in the church. I'm like, oh, no. God can't use me. No, no, no. Then the Lord, after getting fed up with my faithlessness and my foolishness, had to say, boy, who made you? Who made your tongue? Who gave you what you have? Don't belong to you. Don't call what I made junk, trash, nothing. You mean I made nothing? Huh? I'm telling you, confidence in God and in the Word of God makes a difference in your relationship with yourself and with God and with others. So now I can say that the confidence that I do have is not in self, but in the Word of God that reveals to me who I am in Christ. And if He says I'm thus and so, I have confidence in God that He's right and everybody else is wrong. So why don't you look around and say, I'm exactly who God says I am. That's right. Who are you? You ask some people, they're like, well, I'm from, and they would, you know, the Neanderthal and the monkey man and the caveman and Chewbacca. You know, some used to be a little salamander, you know, a few generations ago, they think that, you know, their family was a salamander. But that's not true. That's just not true. I have confidence that God is true, that His Word is true, that His revelation is right. And if God says I can do it, I can do it. Not because I feel like it, not because others say I can, but my confidence is in who God is and what God has said. And if God says to me, no matter what you've been through, boy, you're going to make it. You're going to live. You're going to overcome this. You're going to endure to the end, not because of flesh and blood, but because I'm with you. And if I'm with you, the boat's not sinking. Oh, come on and praise the Lord.
If he's in the boat, the boat's not sinking. Come on. Our confidence is not in our nautical skills and our ability to navigate through storms. No, 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 no. When Noah built the ark, there was no stern. There was no motor. Huh? None of that. No sail. No rudder. How you gonna make it? I have confidence in the God who showed me and told me how to build this boat. I know I don't have a rudder. I know there's no steering wheel. I know there's no center console. I know there's no sail. I don't have any fuel, but I know God, and God knows me. And he told me to build this boat, and he's going to keep me while I'm in it. Hallelujah. So who's your confidence in tonight? My confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ, maker of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I may not be able to navigate through life, but where he leads me. My God. Where he leads me, he provides for me. He feeds me. He takes care of me. It doesn't matter where it's at. God is faithful. You're not here because you're faithful. I want to tell you the truth. You're not here because you're just a holy roller, Pentecostal. No, no, no. You're here because of the goodness and the mercy and the long-suffering and the grace of God and the love of God that never changes. You're not here because you've been perfect. You're here because your God is perfect and he's holy and he's good and he's not willing that any perish but all come to everlasting life. Praise God. So who's your confidence in tonight? Tell somebody it's in the Lord. I may not be able to run as fast as I used to could run. Huh? So my confidence is not in my swiftness. Some trust in what? Horses. Some trust in chariots. But what is our confidence in? In the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. So where's your confidence tonight? Huh? Listen, your confidence shouldn't be in your best friend because your best friend could die or let you down. Huh? That's right. That's right. You can have people close to you forsake you, let you down, hurt you, abandon you. That's right. Betray you. That's right. But the reality is, if we're going to survive, our confidence has got to be in the Lord who's already survived. He's already lived through this human life. He's already experienced persecution, pain, and pressure, and problems, and death. He's already experienced all of that, and he overcame it, and he gave us the key. Same key he had, he gave to us. And we're going to be able to overcome it also. Praise God. Not because I sing good. Not because I have a fan club. Not because I have $100 million in the bank. I don't, for the records. But because he loves me. And he cares for me. And he's with me. And even if all men forsake me, Paul said, the Lord stood with me. There was a time in my life where nobody understood me. There was a time and a season in my life where I was mislabeled and therefore I was mishandled. I was misunderstood, but the Lord was faithful. And therefore my confidence is not in man. My confidence is in the God who created man. Oh, praise the Lord, somebody with me. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you tonight, you can put your confidence in God and survive anything. Praise God. It seems here that the more Paul knew the Lord, the more confidence he had in him. How many has had a car, the same car, you've been driving it for like 5 years, Anybody been driving the same car for at least 5 years? A couple of you. Huh? Right, yeah. I bet you changed the oil in it, didn't you? Or took it somewhere to have the oil changed, the tires changed, and had it serviced. Right? That's right. That's right. You know, with the more we experience something and it proves to be trustworthy and reliable, the more confidence we have in it. Right? When you get out in the morning and you put that key in the ignition, you have confidence that it's going to crank. Isn't that right? I mean, subconsciously. I mean, you have confidence when you pick that fork up and you poke it in that potato, you have confidence that you're fixing to eat. You're fixing to chew on that potato. You have confidence, right? Because you've done it before. You've experienced it. What am I saying? The more you experience the Lord, the more you walk with God, the more you know Him, the more confidence you're going to have in Him. Amen. The confidence that you have in Him is going to be a byproduct of the connection you have with Him. Does that make sense? I know I'm teaching some simple stuff tonight, but I like it. It's helped me. It sure helped me, because most of the time I don't have any confidence in self or ability. You know, sounded good last week, but that was last week. I sung that one song, it sounded pretty good, but I don't have confidence that I'm going to sound the same way. Brother, thank you for letting me know that, brother. I appreciate that. I'm not going to call his name. Amen. I remember that time you gave me that word of encouragement. Say, hey, brother, you sounded pretty good tonight. Amen. Don't try to figure out who I'm talking to. You know, but sometimes I just don't come to service with the same confidence that I had last service. I got to be stirred up. I got to be encouraged. I got to get in the presence of God. I've got to have Jesus transfigure Himself before me all over again so that I can get my confidence back. And not have to worry about what you think, but have confidence that He loves me and He loves to hear my praise. Oh, hallelujah. I wonder what would happen if everybody in this place come to church, hallelujah, with a desire and a confidence that the Lord wants to hear me. The Lord wants me to love Him, and the Lord wants to love on me, and the Lord wants to be with me, and He's calling me to Himself. I wonder what would happen if everybody come to church with that kind of confidence that God is calling me to Himself. He's longing to hear me. He's longing to feel me. Longing for me to be involved with Him and Him with me. Confidence in God. Is this boring anybody? Is this all right so far? I know. Acts 28 verse 30. And Paul dwelt 2 years, and I'm going to be closing here in a few minutes. Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came into him, preaching the kingdom of God. You ask the question, was confidence a factor? Was it a factor in the early testament? Or early testament? In the early church, New Testament recorded, the book of Acts and so forth. Was confidence a factor? Was it? Well, I think it's very, very clear. The Bible says that Paul was dwelling in his own hired house a couple years, received all that came into him, and this is what he did. He preached the kingdom of God. He taught those things which concerned the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Where did he get his confidence? He got his confidence from the revelation and the experience of God. The experiences that he had with the Lord and the revelation that he had received from the Lord. That's what gave him his confidence, because it was through the revelation and the application of that revelation, come on, relationship, that gave him the confidence that he needs. What are you saying? Because through the right revelation of Jesus Christ, you can have right relationship. So what's in between that? The fear of God. If you do not have right revelation, you can't have right relationship. And if you're not having the right relationship with God, it's because there's a lack of the reverence of God. Does that make sense? There's a lot of people that love church, but that they don't really know how to walk with God. Not yet. They're just having church with the rest of us. rest of us. There's been no conception of revelation, no proper recognition of God, you know. So why are you saying all this? Because this is vital. This is important. If we're going to have the confidence like Paul had and the early apostles had and the early church had, then we've got to receive the revelation of God, amen, and apply that to our heart that we might have right relationship with God in order to have the proper reverence of God, the fear of God. Where do you get that at? Well, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, 26, in the fear of the Lord, that's reverence. That's reverence. In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence. Praise God. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children have a place of refuge. Amazing. Someone say reverence. That's right. Revelation. Reverence, relationship. These things are the main components of developing a healthy confidence in God. I don't know if you comprehend what I'm saying or not, but I'm telling you it works. It works. And you can have a confidence in God that no matter what you go through, you can remain a conduit. And you can remain faithful. And you can endure anything and everything. And you can also learn how to be consistent, even when you feel like you can't do it. I'm telling you. If you will learn these things, they will help you to be faithful and to be consistent. And even if you fall, the Bible says, the just shall live by what? Let's all stand. Let's stand together. The just shall live by what? The just shall live by faith. What is faith? What is the response of faith? Belief and confidence. That's right. You know, when you read into the definition of the Greek word faith, the Greek word for faith, it says something like this, the conviction or the confidence of truth. Say confidence. That you live with confidence in truth. But you don't live in confidence or by the confidence in truth if truth has not been imparted into your life. Truth comes first. You don't have this and then comes truth. No, truth comes first. Confidence is your proper response to truth, to faith, to the Word of God, to the revelation of God. I ask you a question one more time. I ask you another question. Do I need confidence in God? Do you need confidence in God? Sister, do you need it? Gentlemen over here, do you need confidence in God? I think we all do. Acts chapter number 4, as I move towards the keyboard. I don't really have much confidence that I'm going to be able to play a nice song for you. But I have confidence that someone's going to help me. In Jesus' name. And I shall wait upon the Lord. I'm lifting my eyes because my redemption draweth near. My redemption has come in the form of a man. He is going to redeem us all. Praise God. You see, it works. I had so much confidence in God that he made it possible for people to hear and for people to respond in love and in faith. Acts 4:12, let me close. This is short notice, guys, I'm sorry. Acts 4:12, 4:13. Now, when they saw the boldness, actually, when you look at that word is confidence. When they saw the confidence of Peter. If you have confidence in God, people are going to see it. I'm telling you, when you have a healthy confidence in God, you're going to make a greater difference. You're going to impact people. You're going to bless people. That's right. You're not going to walk through life, woe is me. I got all these standards I'm trying to bear. Got to live right in this unholy generation. Got to travel on in this lowly world of sin and shame. What? Man, lift your eyes. Get your confidence in God. Don't be ashamed of Him and His gospel and His word and His revelation, not just of Himself, but what He revealed to you about who you are. Because if you don't know your daddy, you ain't gonna know who you are. Why do you have so much confidence? Because I know who my dad is. I know what he's capable of doing. I have confidence in his word. And people are blessed because, not because we have good voices and good choir and good singing, and because we do have all those things. But what really makes a difference in the soul of a human being is when you and I project a confidence in God. That's right. A confidence in God that comes from proper reverence of God. You can kill this body, but you can't kill my soul. You can punch me and slap me and road rage me, but you can't take my confidence away. You can't kill my soul. My confidence is in God. And it's contagious. Why am I saying this? Because God wants us to impact our world. God wants us to make a difference in the courtroom. That's right, at the clerk's office, Brother Whittingham. God wants us to make a difference. And I'm telling you, this is one of the ways that we can make a difference in the classroom, as we develop a confidence in God. I don't care if they riot. Maintain a confidence in God. And they saw the confidence of Peter and John, and they perceived that these men had not went to college. They didn't go to seminary. They were not Pharisees. They were unlearned and ignorant men. And they marveled. They admired them. They were astonished. Why were they astonished? Because they were thinking, these men do not have competence because of academics. They didn't go to our school. They didn't go to the same seminary, the same college. So where did they get their confidence from? Ask. Why don't you ask somebody? Where did these ignorant men get their confidence? Why are they so, they have no reason. They're poor and they have no education. He's still got dirt under his fingernails. Come on. Huh? Why are they so confident? Where does it come from? Ooh, let's read and see. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. The more you know Him, the more you partake of Him, the more you walk with Him, the more you experience Him. Hallelujah. The more confidence you're going to have, you're going to exhibit, you're going to project, and you're going to make a difference in your world. Hallelujah. You may not have a college degree. You may have a GED. That's all right. People will take notice of you. I'm talking to you. People will take notice of you when you exhibit a confidence that says to the people, I have been with Jesus. I have been with Jesus. I've been with him so long that he's rubbed off on me. That he's rubbed off on me. And people now know that I've been with him. Hallelujah. My God. We need proper confidence in God. Don't cast it away, because it has great recompense of reward. Let me read this. Hebrews chapter number 3, verse 6 and verse 14. Last verse, two verses I'm reading. But Christ as a son over his own house. Whose house are we? If we hold fast, we possess the confidence. Did you read that? You hear that? If we hold fast, or if we possess the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Verse 14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. What are you saying? What are you trying to share here tonight? What we're saying here is you're going to have continual confidence if you will continually partake of him. Partaking of Christ is the way that you cultivate proper confidence in him that makes you contagious. How many wants to be contagious? Now, I'm talking about in a good sense. I'm not talking about spreading some kind of virus or germ. I'm talking about being contagious. Can we lift our hands to the Lord tonight? Hallelujah, God. We come to you not with self-assurance or self-reliance, but we come to you because of who you are. We come boldly to the throne of grace, not because of all the good that we've done, the right that we've done, but we come to the throne of grace tonight because of who you are and who you have shown yourself to be, who you reveal yourself to be. We have confidence in who you are, that you love us, that you will help us, that you will impart into us, that you will teach us, that you will train us, that you will develop us, that you will help us to cultivate a right relationship with you based on the revelation that we have received. Hallelujah, and walk in the reverence of God, in the fear of God, and have strong confidence. Confidence that will help us to be the salt of the earth and lights in this dark world. Come on, lift your hands unto the Lord with me. Let's just talk to the Lord and ask him to help us to receive this word tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may strike out sometimes, but have confidence in God. You may fall sometimes, but have confidence in God. Come on, I remember that song. Don't give up on God, because God won't give up on you. He's able. He's able. I hope this word encourages you tonight that God is still the same. That he's not changed by your circumstance. Whether you draw near to him or you fall away from him, that does not change God or his plan or his purpose for your life. Come on, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. The Lord wants you to lift your eyes unto him tonight. The Lord wants you to put your confidence back in him tonight, and who he is, and his word, and his promise, and his power, and his provision. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Teach me, oh God, how to develop this confidence and to put that confidence and to maintain that confidence in you. No, never to cast it away, because it has great recompense of reward. Oh, yes, yes, yes. With this confidence, Lord, I can be a capable and a more effective minister in the world. I can make a difference. Lord, as a servant, as a child of God, as a witness unto your Lordship. In Jesus' name, let these things be in me, and let me live them and experience them, and let me walk in this, the confidence, Lord God, that you want me to have in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Can we just thank him? Amen. We're done. Let's just thank the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. His word just to rest upon his promise. That's right. That's what it is. That's what trust is. It's confidence. It's trusting him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How I proved over and over and over. Oh my. Jesus. Jesus. Precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. Hallelujah. Come on, love him together. Love him together. Love him together. Trust him. Trust him. Have confidence. He's called you out. He's going to bring you all the way in. Hallelujah. He's brought you this far. He's not done. He's going to finish what he started. Come on, have confidence in him. Have confidence in him. Have confidence in him. That even when you can't see him, he's there, and he's there all the time. God bless you. God bless you. Maintain your trust and confidence in the Lord. You'll become unmovable. Lord bless you. You may be dismissed in the fear of the Lord. It's 8:30. Have a great evening. 9:30 is our prayer time on the prayer line. We look forward to seeing you all on Sunday. 10 a.m. is our Sunday school for all adults and children and youth. 10 o'clock in our main service. At 11 o'clock, God bless you. Also, ladies, don't forget 10 o'clock at Sister Kyle's. And our men are having the fellowship service, fellowship for all of our men this coming Friday at 7 o'clock p.m. So if you're a man, you are encouraged to be a part of the fellowship this coming Friday at 7 o'clock p.m. at our Spanish church location in Green Acres.